Chapter 15. God Shows His Power. The Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for many years. When they went to Egypt, they were only a few families. But now they had become a large group of people. The Israelites were surrounded with idol worship, so many of them had lost their knowledge of the true God. They also had forgotten God's law. The Israelites united with the Egyptians in worshiping the sun, moon, and stars. They also worshiped animals and idols. Everything around the Israelites influenced them to forget the living God. But some people among them had not forgotten the true God who made the heavens and the earth. Those faithful Israelites felt bad because every day their children watched and did some of the sinful things the idol worshippers did. They bowed down to Egyptian gods made of wood and stone, and offered sacrifices to those foolish images. In their trouble and sorrow, the faithful Israelites prayed God would deliver them from slavery. They asked the Lord to take them out of Egypt to a place where they would be free from idolatry and the sinful influences that surrounded them. Many of the Israelites felt they would rather remain slaves in Egypt than go through the difficulties of traveling to a new country. For that reason, God did not deliver them the first time He showed signs and wonders to Pharaoh. God allowed time for Pharaoh to show how cruel he really was, and for the Egyptians to see the great power of the Lord. God also wanted the Israelites to see His great power, so they would really want to leave Egypt and would choose to serve Him. Many Israelites had become corrupted by idol worship, but some Israelites were faithful to God. The faithful Israelites did not hide their faith. They told the Egyptians about the only true God. They reviewed God's actions from the time of creation to their time that proved the true God to be a living God with great power. The Egyptians were given a chance to learn about the faith of the Israelites and to know their God. But instead of believing, they tried to destroy the Israelites' faith and turn them from worshiping the true God. Now the Egyptians were annoyed because their threats, promises of rewards, and cruel treatment had not made the Israelites stop worshiping God. The last two kings of Egypt had been terribly cruel to the Israelites. The leaders of Israel had tried to strengthen the weakening faith of the Israelites by reviewing with them God's promises to Abraham. The leaders also recalled the prophecy Joseph made just before he died, that God would deliver the Israelites from Egypt. Some of the slaves listened and believed. Other people thought about their own sad condition and thought the situation was hopeless. Israel, influenced by idolatry. When the Egyptians learned the Israelites expected to leave Egypt, Egyptians made fun of Israel's hope of deliverance. Egyptians spoke scornfully of the power of the Israelites' God. The Egyptians explained to the Israelites that the Israelites were a nation of slaves. Egyptians said, "If your God is so fair and merciful and has more power than our gods, why are you still slaves? Why does your God not show His greatness and power by honoring you?" The Egyptians then pointed to their own people who worshipped gods of their own choosing that the Israelites called false gods. The Egyptians said their gods had blessed them, giving them food, clothing, and great riches. Egyptians said their gods also had given them the Israelites to do their work for them. Egyptians said they had power to crush the Israelites, to kill them, and to destroy them as a people. Egyptians laughed at the idea that the Israelites would ever be delivered from slavery. Pharaoh boasted that the Israelites' God could not deliver them from his control. His words destroyed the hope of many Israelites. They believed what the king and his officers said. They knew they were treated as slaves and had to do exactly what their work bosses and rulers commanded them. Their male children had been hunted and killed. Their own lives were miserable. How could they be so miserable when they were believing in and worshiping the God of heaven. The Israelites compared their condition with that of the Egyptians, who did not believe in a living God who had power to save or destroy. Some of the Egyptians worshipped images of wood and stone. Other Egyptians chose to worship the sun, moon, and stars. They seemed to be blessed and wealthy. Some of the Israelites thought that if God was better than all gods, he would not allow them to be slaves in a nation that worshipped idols. People who were faithful among the Israelites understood God allowed this trouble because as a people, they were not faithful to him. Many Israelites had married people of other nations and had become worshippers of idols. So God allowed the Israelites to become slaves in Egypt. The faithful Israelites told their brothers God soon would take them out of Egypt and break the power of their slave masters. The time had come when God would answer the prayers of his oppressed people. God would use his great power to bring Israel out of Egypt. When the Egyptians would see God's mighty power working against them, they would have to admit the Israelites' God, whom they scorned, was greater than all gods. God was almost ready to punish the Egyptians for worshiping idols and for their proud boasting that their foolish gods had blessed them. God would glorify his own name so other nations might hear of his power and tremble at his mighty acts. Seeing God's great works, the Israelites too would give up their idols and worship the true God with all their hearts. In delivering the Israelites from Egypt, God plainly showed his mercy to his people before the Egyptians. God brought terrible judgments on Pharaoh to teach him, through experience, that God was greater than all gods. There was no other way to convince Pharaoh. For God's name to be made throughout the earth, God would give proof to all nations of his divine power and perfect justice. God planned that this example of his power also would strengthen the faith of the Israelites. Surely their children would worship him faithfully when they heard about the great wonders he had done to save them. Pharaoh pretended he did not know God. He commanded the slave masters to stop providing the Israelites with straw for making bricks. "Let the Israelites gather their own straw," he said. Moses told Pharaoh that God would force the king to do what the Lord says and admit that God was the ruler, greater than all rulers. The plagues. God used miracles to try to convince Pharaoh of his power. The king saw Aaron's rod become a snake and the water in the Nile River become blood. But these miracles did not change Pharaoh's heart. Instead, he hated the Israelites more. The king's magicians led Pharaoh to believe that these miracles were performed by magic. But he had all the proof of God's power he needed in the way the plague of frogs was stopped. God could have made the frogs turn into dust in a moment's time, but he did not do so because he did not want the king and the Egyptians to say that the plague of frogs was a magic trick. When the frogs died, the people had to gather them together in heaps. Everyone could see the dead frogs. The smell of their rotting bodies filled the air. The king and all Egypt had proof that plague was not a work of magic, but a judgment from the God of heaven. When the plague of lice happened, God did not allow the magicians to make lice too. God took Pharaoh's excuses away. The magicians had to say, "This is the work of God." Next was the plague of swarms of flies. These flies were not the same as the flies that bother us today. They were large and poisonous. Their sting was very painful to people and to animals. God separated the Israelites from the Egyptians by not allowing the terrible flies to come where the Israelites lived. Then the Lord sent a plague of disease on the Egyptians' cattle. But the Lord kept the Israelites' cattle from getting the disease and dying. Next, God sent terrible sores on the Egyptian people and their animals. The magicians were not able to protect themselves from the sores. Then the Lord sent a plague of hail, fire, lightning, and thunder on Egypt. Before most of these plagues happened, God, through Moses, told the Egyptians the exact time when the plague would begin. God did not want the people to say the plagues just happened by chance. These plagues showed the Egyptians the whole earth was under the command of the Israelites' God. Thunder, hail, and storm obey his voice. Proud Pharaoh once asked, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Now he humbled himself, saying, "I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and my people and I are in the wrong." Exodus 9, verse 27. Pharaoh begged Moses to ask God to stop the terrible thunder and lightning. The Lord next sent a dreadful plague of locusts. Pharaoh chose to receive the plagues rather than to give in to God. He continued to be stubborn when his whole kingdom was suffering from these terrible judgments. Next, the Lord sent darkness on Egypt. Light was taken from the people, and the air became so heavy that the air was difficult to breathe. At the same time, the Israelites were blessed with pure air and light in their homes. God would bring one more terrible plague on Egypt. The plague would be the worst of all the plagues. The king and the idol-worshipping priests stubbornly refused to give in to the requests Moses made. The Egyptian people wanted the Israelites to leave. Moses informed Pharaoh and the Egyptians about this terrible plague. The plague would cause great terror for the Egyptians, but it would be glorious for the Israelites. On the night of the plague, the first solemn Passover ceremony was held. The Egyptian king and his proud, idol-worshipping people had a difficult time doing the will of the God of heaven. Pharaoh was very slow about giving in. Every time a terrible plague would happen, he would yield a little. But when the plague stopped, he would take back all he promised to do. So plague after plague was brought on Egypt. Pharaoh yielded no more than he was forced to by the fearful plagues. After Egypt was ruined, the king continued in his rebellion. Moses and Aaron explained to Pharaoh what would happen after each plague and what the results would be if he refused to let Israel go. Each time he saw the plague happen exactly as he was told the plague would happen, but he would not yield. At first, Pharaoh was willing only to give the Israelites permission to offer sacrifices to God in the land of Egypt. Then, after Egypt had suffered so much from the plagues, he was willing to let the men go. When the plague of locusts nearly destroyed Egypt, he was willing to let the women and children go, but he would not let them take their cattle. Moses then told the king God would send an angel to kill all of the Egyptians' firstborn children. Every plague had come a little closer to the king and had been more severe than the plague before. This was to be the worst of all. When the king heard this warning, he became very angry, but he did not humble himself to obey God. The Egyptians saw the Israelites getting ready for that terrible night. The Egyptians made fun of the sign of blood God's people were putting on their doorposts.